Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, is it the 9th? Did I look at the wrong calendar? I did, didn't I?
I'm doing whatever you're...
All right. No, it's the 9th. I was kind of deviating there. I was looking...
You're just confusing me. That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. How did I get to the 10th? I mean, July? No. I don't know. I guess I just...
It could be a bad omen for the day, you know?
I just forgot what day it was. All right. Are you ready for our question this morning?
Sure.
All right. Why is a thing never... That's no longer as good as it was, said to have gone to pot? Now, remember, I gave you a hint before the show that this was culinary.
Yeah, no, I know. You said culinary.
All right.
Well, and I'm thinking it's not the obvious one that some people would go, wait, I got an idea. I'm thinking it must have something to do with the pot it's in and something going rancid or spoiled.
Way out there. All right. When a leftover dish is no longer suitable to be served alone as an entree, it's often tossed into a pot for stew. Thus, such a dish has gone to pot.
Okay, that makes it sound like something that was bad tasting, but this is more like what I normally cook like.
Yeah.
whatever's in the refrigerator, it all goes together.
And I have found in past that spaghetti is not necessarily suitable for that purpose. Putting it into a pot and turning it into a stew. It just doesn't quite...
I can't say I've tried that.
Just for those who are taking notes on the culinary scene that might be tapped in.
Yeah. Sometime we should talk about onion rings and things I really know about.
You know, I think something like that could be a kick in the pants. Talk about, the restaurant and what your folks and you and Tom had done when you guys were there. And just kind of, remember...
Yeah,
memories.
We can do that sometime. I'll pretend I'm not a supervisor. I'll go back to being...
No, because when you're not a supervisor, unless you're still an elected, people are going to ask you to open up the restaurant again somewhere.
Yeah, it happens all the time, and
yeah,
I feel so badly. I don't know how restaurant owners do it anymore, but there's some pretty amazing people.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, speaking of amazing, you guys have got the budget in front of you that is kind of ticking down... Now that we're inside the month, what's it look like this year?
Well, first let me say, if this is something I learned when I was at the City of Eureka, there's actually awards and things that are pretty prestigious for things like budgets and budget presentations. And it was just recently, I think early this week, we learned that for the second year in a row, we got this budget award. And there's several parameters that go with it, and part of it is how easy does it communicate to the community what's actually in your plans. And anyway, I just wanted to give a big shout out to our CAO and her team for doing that. That's twice in a year, and it's not easy to come by. So, and other people might go, why are budgets getting awards? Well, I can't answer that, but I'm just glad we have a team that knows how to put them together right. But you asked me what it looks like. Well, we just recently had the basic look-see over it. We took several actions on Tuesday that moved a few things around. We have found this year that with Measure Z, many parts of the economy were suffered really badly, and some did really unexpectedly good. And so we've ended up, looks like we will have some more Measure Z funding become available, so we can actually put those dollars towards more of the projects that our Measure Z committee prioritized for us. So that's a positive. Some of the concerns is we still have some problems. My understanding is there's certain things from last year that still aren't closed. It's kind of scary because we're getting to
two budgets out.
But it's there's some unknowns. I do understand it sounds like the Treasury Tax Collector and the auditor have been trying to work. So at least there's this thing called interest apportionment, and it's something that when the dollars come in and everything's posted, and this is simplification here, but then the Treasury Tax Collector routes that to all the different entities who use our treasury.
Yeah, it's kind of assigning Who gets credit for the interest? Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a piece that's been missing, but hopefully that's happening soon. And you know, so there's just things we don't know for certain. We are very hopeful that even though things have been quite delayed, that given COVID and some extensions, you know, hoping we're going to be on track to be able to collect most of the dollars, although there are concerns that maybe not, right? So cautiously, guardedly optimistic, I guess we'd say. At the same time, you know, we're also looking at the American Rescue Plan dollars, and we have to come up with a spending plan for those. And I don't remember exactly, but we have portions, you know, looking at going in, I think, public safety, some going into nonprofits, and there's another, I think, perhaps to health. There's, so we're looking at those dollars, figuring out what we want to do with those and how we're going to apportion them up to different groups in the community or like in the public sector. So that's a piece that we're, you know, that's still being worked on. In fact, everything is actually still being worked on from the standpoint that we provided input on Tuesday. And so on the 21st, we'll have two budget hearings, one at 1:30 and one at 5:30. And at that point in time, the staff will have brought more information that we requested today regarding some other potential places, you know, to put the money. But it's overall, it seems better than I was really anticipating. It's still a problem that we aren't having the year closed, but apparently we feel fairly confident in the budget that the team has brought to us. So I feel better about that, but, you know, with still a lot of things missing.
With the surplus that the governor's been bragging about, did any of that filter down, or you have any indications that any of those dollars are going to filter down in a positive mode to the county, or is it just going to be more of a shift of responsibility as the past has indicated?
Well, the state's really good at shifting responsibility. So I wish I don't have anyone here with me. I wish I did that could kind of delineate exactly what we know and what we don't know. I think, you know, there are dollars coming. I mean, I've heard there'll be more for housing. You know, I've heard. Problem is, what do you do with it? But I'll tell you, one of the conversations we had yesterday that was not budget necessarily was Laura's Law, which is assisted outpatient treatment.
Well, we'll talk about that one when we come back after the break.
Okay.
All righty. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, before the break, you had referenced Laura's Law, that you guys had some good information yesterday morning in the meeting. What is that good news?
Well, first of all, Laura's Law is basically a way to help folks who may benefit by mental health services that meet certain criteria. Sometimes it helps in the process to get them to where they need to be. I mean, it's actually, I don't know how to put it. It's not forced medication, but it involves, you know, people and a judge saying, hey, you need to do this program. And, you know, it's a bit controversial in some places. There's some folks, we had a lot of family members who were calling about their experiences and how much this is needed. But what people don't understand also, however, is that this is not just for the person we might might see along the street yelling at, you know, themselves or inanimate objects or us, it's really specific criteria that's based on, you know, I think mental health calls and then brush-ins with the law, the justice system.
So it may not be as all-encompassing as what some folks
right.
might
well,
want.
Well, they're finding in other counties, well, this it started in Nevada County. A young woman was killed by a person who had not been willing to take their medication. And so that's where Laura's Law started. And then this year's, the governor and the state decided that instead of it being necessarily you choose to move your county into that, it became a either you opt out or you opt in. And the problem is with it comes no money. And so it's a tricky thing because we actually believe we provide most of the services that we would be providing then as well. But I think we all felt that this is something we've been looking at for a long time. And so we're going to do a pilot project. And where I was, where I wanted to tie this into like the budget and you asked about the governor's surplus, I think it's really interesting where this is a project that we're basically the state would like us to do. They're pretty strong in their message, but it comes with no money. It is an unfunded mandate, and you're not allowed to take any dollars that you are already using for other services that are being provided. So it becomes an issue of, okay, so we're going to do this, and this is another $1 million over 2.5 years, and where's that coming from?
So they, what I would think they want you to do it, but there's no
money's tied to it.
Well,
exactly.
Well, is anybody saying, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I mean, well, there's a lot of things we'd like to do that doesn't come with money, and we appreciate the need. However, state.
Yeah. What I would think would be nice if the state would think about, if they're basically phrasing it in the way that they are, it's basically, you know, we really want you to do this, and you can't do fewer services, spend money, you know, less money elsewhere, so you got to figure this out. Because most communities like ours, we're going, general fund, what do we have? Where do you get that money? So,
well, how do they know like where you get the money from? You know, I mean, if it's...
Well, they don't. They make you kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah, if it's a budget priority and you decide to take it from XYZ department and put it there, okay.
Yeah, no, but you can't do if the service is being provided. They're really specific. It's got some really specific rules. But what I was trying to say is with all those dollars that seem to be pouring into the state, if they really want counties to voluntarily enact and not go, you know, broke or, you know, it'd be a lot better if their state would actually put some funding towards it. And I don't know. I suspect that the, you know, Health Directors Association is probably working on that. And, you know, I'll be checking with CSAC because, to me, this is like a huge budget issue, especially because it is... They might make it sound like it's not mandatory, but believe me.
In effect,
they make it feel like it's mandatory.
It really is. Well, and if they do have a surplus, I guess where's Woods and McGuire on this, or are they toeing the line with the party?
You know, I haven't. I think I'm speaking to a senator later this week or next week. I think what they're right now. I don't think they're necessarily divvying up. What's going on there? There's a whole bunch of things happening. Like right now, they're as of last week, and I don't know if this even got finished. You know, there's broadband. There's all these different things still going on. So I'm thinking this might be a conversation that is still left to be had. So we'll see. It's just I realized today that we're not the only county, and you know, some counties literally find there's only two people that qualify. And so this is something, you know, to the people who qualify and to the family members who have peace of mind that they can actually help get their family members the treatment they need but have not been willing to do, you know, to them it's definitely worth every penny, right?
Sure.
But when we look at the entire picture of the community, it's a little harder, so... The pilot project will start, you know, I think we're looking to contract out with someone because we don't have the number of employees that we can't take them from anywhere else that would not provide the same amount of services, you know, the government sets things up interesting, and when the state does it, it seems to be even more interesting. Anyway.
Well, I would think that there would be a number of different entities that would be interested and would have the ability to qualify professionally to do something along these lines, just because it is such a burgeoning area of society today.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, as more and more counties are going through this process, hopefully there will be an awareness from the state level that, you know, hey, we're more than happy to do this, but we can't do everything with the same amount of dollars. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, I mean, there have been a couple of other areas that they've shifted, like the really bad guys.
Juvenile probation, yeah.
Well, I was just thinking the prison population, shifting it back down.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Oh boy.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, it's interesting sometimes when the county decides to have a committee, to develop a committee. Some of them are sunsetted. Some of them seem to linger far beyond their time, and others seem to be just kind of right there and perfect. You guys created a new committee this spring dealing with the auditor-controller. What is the status of that at this point? I know we get press releases every once in a while, but is that starting to get some traction?
I think what I'd first say is that it's bigger than just one office. So it's basically, you know, it's the whole financial picture. And besides the members of the committee, which, you know, there's the chair and the vice chair of the board, and community members and maybe special district members. I don't have the exact makeup in front of me.
But you've got people who know finances, I guess, is the way to say it.
Yeah, several of them do. So those are the ones that vote. And then you have the auditor, the CAO, and the treasurer tax collector who are like ex officio members who they're still expected to go to the meeting. So we had two meetings. Part of it is this is actually something that would have been good to have had done. Something just jumped off my desk. Years ago, right? But we're moving forward now, and that's important. But we've got a lot of financial challenges and concerns that we've been dealing with. I mean, a lot of it has been in the news. Some gets, you know, not everything gets communicated like they really are, you know, so I won't go too far into that. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so, you know, it's scheduled to meet at least four times a year, 40 days after the end of each quarter, I believe. I do have one of the official members, ex officio members, that believes it should only meet twice a year, but our charter says, you know, four times and at the discretion of the chair. And we have a lot of stuff that needs to get done. You know, we have been uncovering and discussing a lot of the challenges that we've been having. I think we've made some progress, but you know, it's going to be a work in progress, and it's going to require quite a bit of time this first year to really hone in on what it is we need to do and how do we approach it.
Well, so, that's the normal case. Also, whenever you have a new committee, it's not like you've got any drafting you can follow on or any historicals. You're kind of starting from scratch.
Yeah, and it's so it's hard, you know, because I'm having to be the bad guy kind of saying, hey, we need another meeting because we have these questions after the last one. And so there's the rub and the scramble. And I'd like to say the community members have been really willing to move things around and be there. And, you know, one of the members from the executive team, I guess you might call, had a little reluctance as far as the meeting schedule. So, you know, we're working through some kinks and trying to get as much done as we possibly can so that we can leave some of these financial concerns behind us. So,
well, I would think that everybody would be looking to be able not only to wrap up 1920, that sounds weird.
I think that one got done.
Yeah, okay. to have surety so that you do know what's going on and the confidences. You know, a lot of folks in the community have concerns, as well as I'm sure a number of folks who are in other departments also. I mean, everybody wants to be able to close the books and move on to the current year or the current cycle.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had to laugh when you said 1920. I'm thinking back in the last century.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But no, I knew what you meant. Yeah, it's a concern, and we have a few strong personalities. I think that's all good, but we got to get people in the room, and you know, I will be
start chopping wood.
More forceful. And I'm going to be more forceful at, hey, we need you for a meeting in the next 3 months. So, our next month and a half, find a 90-minute segment of time and we'll get together.
How about in 2 weeks? Thank you very much.
2 weeks.
Here's our schedule.
I tried that, actually. I tried an early date and I did not work clear, but
Here's our schedule for the next 6 months. Thank you very much. There you go.
Yes.
Plenty of lead time.
You know, it's all about teamwork. And
now, is that a regularly agenda meeting like a lot of the other committees are?
Yes, it is a Brown Act meeting. It is agendized, I believe. I'm not sure if it can be viewed on Zoom, but there is a call-in number, and I believe we do put it out also on, what's that thing, YouTube?
And your comment there, now next week we're supposed to be able to start having in person, right? Is the supervisors' meeting going to be
in person? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. No, not next week. The 15th, what we had said is we asked the staff to come back with recommendations they'll come back next week with recommendations. But I can tell you, for me, one of the most interesting challenges, and I'm sure it's not just us, it's like every business, I don't know if you've looked at the Cal OSHA regulations, that still have not, okay, this is funny, they'll be voted on somewhere in the next 10 days, but the 15th, is not that far away, so I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. But I think the one that's most concerning is, because people, I think, have this notion that just the masks are off, right? And from an employer's standpoint, that may very well not be the way to go, because, you know, someone who's not vaccinated or chooses not to tell you whether they are or are not vaccinated and therefore are assumed unvaccinated. If you have one unvaccinated
the filter
person,
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to have it ready for them. But all your employees in that workspace have to wear masks as well.
Yeah.
That is a piece that today we talked about.
Not customers, employees.
Not customers, but you know, from an OSHA standpoint. And I don't know what workers' comp would do or what they're going to do. But, you know, COVID has been considered, I believe, you know, if someone got it, it's kind of assumed that it happened on the job. So, employers will be able, and, you know, businesses will be able to decide, you know, whether it's, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service.
I suspect that it's starting to get close to a rebellious position for a lot of folks.
But quite frankly, I trust the vaccine. I've been vaccinated, but I'm still a bit leery of people that I know don't, right?
Well, let me lob this one out to you, okay? You wear the mask, right? Okay, to protect from the virus. All right, you're a cook. When you're wearing a mask, do you still smell food? Do you still smell a flour? You know, and if that is the case, and I've tested it, it is. So are these masks really keeping the virus out?
Well, let's say it's not even COVID that we're talking about. The incidence of flu went down.
Oh, now that's different. That's voluntary when we start getting into that area.
No. But I'm just saying the wearing of the mask.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to stick around forever. I do think employers are going to be looking at it to see what is their risk factor with, thank goodness I don't have to deal with it that much anymore, workers' comp, and so we still, I guess the thing is we still don't know, because to me it makes more sense that if someone is not vaccinated or chooses not to be, then they wear a mask, and the rest should not have to.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the part I don't get.
Yeah, a lot of us don't. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Sorry about that. Two quick areas of discussion. ADA, is that coming along on schedule? Is the county going to get it done before more fines come in, or what?
It's moving along as best of the schedule as we can do for something that's, you know, multiple tens of millions of dollars to get done. And a community that's 4,000 square miles in size.
Okay, that sounds like deflection.
Yeah. Well, no, it's different things are being done. You just have to go. Like if you walked into some of the offices here at the courthouse, you'll notice all the, well, besides the COVID stuff, you'll also notice a change in the, you know, the doors. We have to have doors that latch automatically. There's a funny story. Did you hear about a Rex tackling or going after a prowler the other day?
Yeah, but why don't you share with everybody?
Well, let's just say the doors didn't lock all the way because of these, you know, they weren't adjusted right. So apparently last week in the morning on Friday, Supervisor Bone was in here early by himself, and apparently someone must have gotten in, was released from jail, went to the restroom, wandered in here. Our staff came in and saw him sitting in a cubicle and basically said, "Hi, how are you? I don't know you yet." Anyway, let's just say somebody was in here that wasn't supposed to be. Nothing was taken. I think he tried to get some pens and binders, but yeah. And then Supervisor Bone tried to chase him down, and I heard he wants to, you know, get on the volunteer force for EPD. They're, I think, pretty impressed with him.
Rex and his speed.
Under control.
Yeah, I don't think of speed and Rex Bone. It just doesn't connect.
I don't know if that was accurate or not. ADA is moving along. It's just a slow process.
All righty. Other question. With the discussions in Eureka with the housing and those locations, that's it. That's in your district. A number of us are thinking that the Jacobs Junior High School location would be a dandy spot. Are you going to weigh in on that one as a supervisor of the area? Is the county involved at all, or is this city staff running the show entirely?
Well, I can weigh in as an individual, and I'll say there's a lot of different facets to it, which is difficult. You know, Jacobs, when he tried to do housing out there years ago, it got totally turned down by the neighbors.
Right.
So it's not like it hasn't been tried out there, but I do believe Jacobs is actually in contract maybe with something else purchasing, but I don't have any specifics.
We've talked with Fred Van Fleck about that. And it's the city of Eureka, and I guess the CHP is kind of sort of there, but they backed down because of the COVID stuff. So that property is available for this.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think part of what we're looking at when we're talking housing, whether this is the project we're talking about, is we recognize we need housing. I can understand using parking lots because I think there is maybe less people driving. I mean, I drive. I'm you know, that's just me. However, you know, I think there's also the impact of when you, if it's the busy parking lots, and you have businesses that need a place for their employees to park, or you know, customers, employees especially, though, because employees sometimes come to work really early. They go to work, they go home late, and how far will they have to walk to get to their vehicles, and is this going to become a safety issue? But this is also a very long-term plan. So I know it seems to have become a pretty talked-about issue. I quite frankly, I have not been involved in the personal conversations because it is the jurisdiction of another community, although I like to see, I think, you know, Miles and the rest of the team there, I think they really want to work with the community to try to make it the best as they can.
Well, it's not easy. We'll draw you into this one as the year goes on. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for, now you added a day to my week. Didn't you say it was the 10th?
Yeah, I screwed it up. Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's the 9th. Okay. And we're done. See ya.
Fine.
Bye-bye.